You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., episode number 1385.
If you're not making offers, you're not making money.
Yeah.
And making offers can mean different things to everybody. But that's the number one thing. If you're struggling with not getting enough leads, not making enough money, it all comes back to how many offers have you made in the last week?
This is game-changing information guaranteed to raise your real estate wholesaling business with actionable steps you can take immediately to navigate the ins and outs of wholesaling and start making money today. Join us as we put our guests in the hot seat and dive deep to dissect their strategies for success to enable you to duplicate their results. You're listening to Wholesaling Inc., the only show dedicated to making you a fortune in wholesaling.
How badly do you want success? How much are you willing to do to get your real estate business off the ground? How early are you willing to get up in the morning to do that work, to do the action, to start your real estate business? Land is one of the easiest, fastest ways to make a fortune in real estate, and it's the absolute lowest barrier of entry. Today, I'm interviewing my friend Joe McCall, and he's going to talk about some simple methods that he's doing in his land business that he's finding landowners that want to get rid of the land, and as well as finding the buyers for the land. We call it the crumpled up yellow letter method. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Let's get right into it. Joe McCall, welcome back to the Wholesaling Inc. podcast. How are you doing today?
Awesome, Brent. Good to see you, my brother.
Good to see you as well. Boy, Rhino Nation, we have had to reschedule this multiple times. Joe is hard to pin down. And anybody listening to this in their vehicle right now, Joe is doing the Rhino. Anybody knows, like Tom.
Do you have one for Shark? Is it like behind your head or something like that?
I don't have one of those goofy things yet.
Rhino here. Shark in the back.
Shark fin in the back. And you know why we call it shark? It's because we want to create a feeding frenzy around our land deals. We want buyers to be beating down our doors for this parcels of land. So anyhow, that's a little background on the land sharks. But Joe, it's great to have you. I know you're doing incredible things with your land businesses or business, other people's land business. And you do this with your sons. I always say land is the lowest barrier of entry to make a fortune in real estate. And so many people are fighting over these ugly, nasty, dirty old stinky cat pee houses. But I think today we're going to talk a little bit about why land beats houses every time. You just did a video.
What? Every time?
Every time. Why land beats houses every single time. And we're also going to talk a little bit on how to fix your existing land business. Like, because, you know, I have problems in my land business as well. And I probably should share more about like my problem lately. I need lenders with more money. I just got a $500,000 lender yesterday. I think it came from your podcast, which was pretty cool. But those are just some of the little issues I run in, like some of my challenges. Like that's my next mountain. I want to get more.
Let's talk about this right now. Yeah, I think this is so important because this one thing will fix, no matter what your problem is, this one thing will fix it. Whether you're looking for deals for houses or land, whether you're looking for buyers, whether you're looking for private investors, you know what that one thing is?
I'm on the seat of my chair. I'm not even sitting down right now. So I want
to
hear
it. All right. And I'm sitting down. If I move my chair, then I'll have to adjust my camera. It's this. Make more offers.
Make more offers.
That's it.
It that sounds simple.
It. You know why you got that $500,000 private lender?
Why?
You started flapping your lips.
Started talking about it.
You started talking about it. You started making offers to private investors out there.
Yeah.
Hey, are you looking for a place to invest your money? Are you looking for, you're making offers.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking for private investors. I've got so many deals, more deals than I can handle. I need some money to invest in these deals. All my capital's tied up. You know, I'm not saying it the right way, the same way you were saying it, but you were saying, hey, I pay great returns, secured by real estate. There's a huge demand in the market right now from our buyers. We've got a ton of buyers. We got a ton of really good deals. We're looking for some private investors. And we're getting a lot of these big deals with high, huge profit margins. And you just started talking about it. You were making offers. You were going around on podcasts, talking about it to people on your list, on your YouTube channel, on your social medias, on my podcast, talking, making offers, right?
Yeah.
It's called the Flap Your Lips method.
Flap your lips method.
And here's what's the number one rule in real estate? It's not location, location, location.
Buy at the right price. You know,
no, It's make offers, make offers, make offers.
Ah, okay. So flap your lips, make offers, make. So I love making offers every day, and that's automated. I do it via my land offer letters. And I know you
however you want to do it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Now, you could be sending blind offers. That's good. But for me, in my mind, the way I think of making offers is you're talking to a seller, you're talking to a realtor, and you're making an offer specific for their property, right? Because it's easy to mail, because there's a difference between making five offers a day and mailing five blind offers a day, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're directly communicating directly with a seller. But by sending the blind offers, it allows me to do it whether I pick up the phone or not, especially if I'm sending out 20, 30, 40 of those a day. And the phone does ring, and I do have to talk to these sellers.
So, okay, you would say then, my rule of thumb is, you know, talk to five people a day and make at least make an offer to every seller you talk to. So maybe you make three offers a day. When you're sending blind offers like you're doing, which is great, not knocking that at all, right? You need to do more of it, right? So you need to be sending more blind offers. It's not enough to just send five blind offers a day or to find five older vacant land listings on Redfin and send five blind offers to those realtors. That's good. I mean, that's better than nothing, but your numbers need to be bigger.
I'm
talking about
get on the phone.
Your speed to income in this business is directly proportional. It's directly correlated to the number of offers that you make. It doesn't matter if you're doing land or houses. If you're in the publishing business and you sell consulting or services or software, if you're not making offers, you're not making money.
Yeah.
And making offers can mean different things to everybody. But that's the number one thing. If you're struggling with not getting enough leads, not making enough money, it all comes back to how many offers have you made in the last week?
And I see that a lot when I get to talk to a land shark that's struggling. Like, hey, I haven't got a deal yet. I haven't done my first land deal yet. Or I've had a little, you know, lull in my business.
Yep.
It usually comes right down to what you just said. Making more offers, sending more land offer letters, sending more blind offers, getting on the phone with these realtors that have these listings that have been on the market for 180 days and they're just stagnating.
Exactly. So you might be like, Joe, I don't have the mail. Brent, I have the money to send these blind offers like you're doing, right? And, okay, that's fine. But are you making excuses or are you making money? Because you can't make both.
Yeah, you definitely can't. And one thing that has really been getting us a lot of land deals. Because when I was on your podcast the other day, I said, I've got more land deals than what I can buy right now. So hence, I need more lenders. I want bigger private lenders with like $500,000. But one thing that's been getting us a lot of land deals lately is talking to house wholesalers.
Yes.
Because they come across land deals all the time and they don't know what to do with them, most of them. And some might buy them, but they might have one or two buyers that they can assign their contract to. So that's a free way right there to get land deals. But
you have no excuses, guys. If you get on the phone and you talk to five people a day, realtors, house wholesalers, if you're into houses, you know, property managers, other people in the business, other wholesalers, other land investors, other realtors, sellers, you know, just go to whatever your list provider is and look up expired listings or canceled listings. You can go to PropStream or PropWire and get that kind of stuff. My Leads Plus, I think, is even one of them that you can get. But like, look for anybody and everybody that you call. If you just talk to five people a day, you will do deals. In fact, I could say this, if you could make 100 offers, now again, in my mind, 100 offers is different than what you were saying, I'm sending 100 blind offers.
Yeah.
If you can make 100 offers, I can virtually guarantee you will do a deal.
Yeah.
It's like,
I would guarantee that too.
100 offers. Up. Right. And you follow up. So, you know, it's just a numbers game. Stop complicating it. And so we need to stop making excuses and stop playing the victim card here because we're struggling and not making the cash flow that we think we deserve.
Yeah.
How bad do you want it?
Yeah.
And so when I'm coaching somebody and I'm working with them, I'm always asking them, how's your marketing doing? You know, how many blind offers have you sent? How many letters or postcards have you sent? How many cold calls have you done? And the most important number that I want to know is how many offers have you made in the last week?
But Joe, I don't have much time. I've got three kids. I've got a full-time job. you know, how does that work for me? That's all well and good for you and Brent.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how bad do you want it? I mean, yeah, maybe this, and this is what I tell you, you should, if money's an issue for you, maybe you need to go get a job at Costco or Sam's Club and, you know, just get, make some extra money on the side. But I've heard all the excuses. In fact, I remember one time, Brent, I was coaching two different students in one market in Colorado, your neck of the woods. And this was a dozen years ago. And one guy was saying, Joe, this isn't working. I have a tons of buyers, but no sellers.
Oh.
And the other student the next day said, Joe, this isn't working. I got tons of sellers, but no buyers. Nobody wants to buy my deals. And I couldn't believe it. And I said, you guys, I told them both, you need to talk to each other, right? And start collaborating, because there is opportunity there. So it's just, you know, your perspective. Are you allowing yourself to make excuses or not? And I think this is the biggest determining factor on why people fail or succeed in this investing business, in any business. They don't understand that we're not in the real estate investing business. We're in the marketing business. We're in the making offers business. And if you just make offers, if you don't have the money, you'll find a way. You'll find a way. You'll go and you'll start calling all, you go to Google and do a search for We Buy Houses Orlando and look for all of the guys and gals that are advertising on their We Buy Houses. And you're calling them, you're talking to 10 a day or trying to call 10 a day. And you're saying, hey, what do you do with your vacant land leads? Yeah. You throwing them away? Listen, if you can bring them to me, I'll give you half of my profits. All right. And then you could start calling realtors. You could start calling top producing realtor agents. What do you do with your vacant land listings? I pay 10% commissions. Start calling expired listings, the owners, skip tracing them. You could start calling the realtors of older vacant land listings that have been on the market for 6 months. You could start calling your old leads. How about, oh my gosh, Brent, there are so many people here are sitting on gold mines right now. You're just inches away from the gold, right? Because you've got a bunch of old leads. Is sitting in your CRM, whatever you're using, you know, and you've got a bunch of old leads sitting in there. When was the last time you called them?
Yeah.
You know, and you texted them, you emailed them, or you did a ringless voicemail campaign to them and you just called them and followed up.
Send them a happy Thanksgiving card if you don't want to deal with the rejection. Happy Thanksgiving. Did you sell the land yet? Or yeah. You hadn't sold the land yet, or you don't still want to sell that land, yeah. Do you?
Yes.
Something that simple. We'll get that phone ringing. And I'm guilty of that. I hate follow-up. I hate it because they've already said no, or I already got the rejection. But when I go back and do it, or one of my acquisition managers goes back and does a follow-up,
yes,
we usually find gold. We have to kind of flip over a couple rocks, but the gold's under there. And going back to how bad do you want it? You know, what time are we getting up in the morning? What time are you getting up in the morning? If you're broke, I guarantee you're sleeping in. More than likely, you're sleeping in. Or you're watching too much Netflix.
You're watching too much Yellowstone at night.
Oh, that's a good show, though. I mean, you probably should take a little time for Yellowstone. But
okay, while you're watching Yellowstone, you should be handwriting yellow letters.
That's right. Yeah, yellow. Okay.
And here's the thing. Let's say you're not an agent. What if you started sending handwritten yellow letters to the owners of the older listing? Now, I'm not saying you should go around the realtor or cancel, try to get the seller to cancel their listing agreement with the agent. But I'm talking about sending handwritten yellow letters or skip tracing and cold calling the owners of some of these older vacant land listings. And there are thousands of them. You could just go to Zillow and look up FSBOs for sale by owners of vacant land and start calling them. And if they don't answer their phone, text them. Send them a handwritten yellow letter. What if you could just every day, let me give you a little tip here. This is one of my favorite strategies, and I'm telling you this works. I want you all, while you're watching Yellowstone tonight, tomorrow night, or watch, you know, maybe watch it on VidAngel. Have you heard of VidAngel?
No.
VidAngel takes out the cuss words, the violence, and the nudity. And it's 10 bucks a month. It's awesome. Depending on what you're watching, you may eliminate 50% of it. But while you're watching Game of Thrones or Yellowstone on VidAngel, all right, you get a yellow pad of paper and you're going to handwrite 20 yellow letters with a red Sharpie pen. And you're going to write, hey, are you interested in selling your 0.6 acre lot in Jackson County, Florida? Please call me, cell phone number, and your name. Take that letter, tear it off, and watch, do this.
Crumple it up.
Crumple it up. Open it back up. Fold it into fourths. Put it in an invitation envelope. Hand address the envelope, the address, and put your return address on there. Don't put your company name. Just put your return address and your personal name. Put a real stamp on it. Send this out, guys. You will get 5, 10, 20% response rates on these 20, things.
So you send out 100, you're going to get 20 phone calls. 20%.
Oh, yeah, 10 to 20 phone calls.
That's high. That's super high.
That's huge. And why? Because it's a personal invitation envelope, handwritten. Got a real stamp. I go and I buy 1 cent stamps. I put them next to the real stamp, crooked. They're going to get this envelope and it's kind of thick. They're going to open the flap and they see this crumpled up paper in there. And their curiosity is right through the roof.
Through the roof.
They open up, it's handwritten, and they're like, what is this? We even do this letter for buyers, Brent. We'll go and find out who are all of the investor buyers that buy land in this area where we have a property under contract. We'll send this letter and we'll say, we pretend to be the desperate, motivated seller. And this thing, every single time we find buyers with it.
And these buyers get so much mail. They don't get any mail that looks like that, though. They're not getting mail that looks like that.
I got this when I started my podcast in 2011. I interviewed one of the guys who helped start FreedomSoft with Preston Ely way back there in those days. And this is a letter they sent out in their wholesaling operation. They send it to recent buyers and they says, urgent. And this is what the letter says. I'm desperate, urgent. Please help. I need to sell my property ASAP. I've had it listed for some time now and I can't wait any longer. Take a drive by, call me. The taxes are paid. The title is clear. I need this thing sold today. Underline exclamation points. Please call me right now. I'm desperate. Phone number, which is your cell phone number, and your name. Crumple it up. Send this letter out to 100 investors that buy property in your area, you know, and you, I guarantee we average 10 to 20% on buyers for these letters. And I got so many calls from that, and they'll just say, hey, listen, I just want you to know, I'm a wholesaler too. I'm an investor, and I saw your letter, and I love it. I'm not interested in your property, but I'm going to steal your letter. It was so good. And it's funny, you know? But yeah. These investors, they get this letter, and they know, you know, you're a wholesaler. This is a gimmick, quote unquote.
And they respect it. They respect it,
and it gets phone calls. Now, don't send them to a voicemail or a website. Or make them jump through hoops, go to Pat Live or whatever. These kinds of letters like this, especially if you're hungry and you need to sell your deal fast, you need to get some offers accepted, you have a tight, limited budget, send them to your cell phone. Like, don't be afraid to get a phone call from a stranger on your cell phone, right? Get Google Voice, but have them call something that rings your cell phone number.
What I love about all of this is we're not adding any expenses. It's like 51 cents to send out that letter. Yep. We're not going and getting another phone line or another cell phone plan. You know, it's just a phone call. Like, and you just show them how to get land deals, you know, expired listings. They've been on the market for a while, or just as simple as just sending these landowners a letter. And now you're sending the buyers a letter that's buying in this area. And all you have to do is marry those two and take your profits and do it again. And eventually maybe you can hire a high school student to do that for you.
Oh yeah.
While they watch Yellowstone. I mean, it's incredible.
These letters I found a stay-at-home mom. I used to send these letters when I was doing a lot of houses to rental properties on Zillow. So I would find a rental property and I would send them to the owners of those rental properties on Zillow. And as long as they hadn't purchased it in the last 5 years. And also I made sure it wasn't the big hedge funds. And you know the crazy thing when you send this kind of a handwritten letter to somebody who owns a rental house? A lot of those rental properties that are listed for rent on Zillow are not showing up yet in the county records as absentee owners. In other words, the property address is the same as the mailing address. Mm. Almost a third of the properties that I found, especially because I was targeting nicer end homes for lease options when I was doing this. And so basically, we would send this letter. And it would be from a woman. It would be from my wife, let's say. And it would say, hi, I think you own the house at 123 Main Street. My husband and I are looking for a property that we can rent for a couple years and then buy. You wouldn't be interested in that, would you? Please call me at blank phone number. And then thanks, Victoria, be my wife's name. And we'd send that letter out. So I hired a stay-at-home mom. Every day she would go and actually had a VA that would every day go into Zillow and scrape all of the rentals and then look in the county records to see who owned it, made sure it hadn't been sold in the last 5 years and it wasn't owned by some big, huge hedge fund out in Texas or whatever, or California. And then we would put them in a spreadsheet. And I had the stay-at-home mom do this. And she was so offended that when she first started in, she thought, this is the most unprofessional, undignified thing, that this is not going to work. There's no way. And in fact, just a couple weeks ago when we were sending these out to land buyers, one of my friend's wife was doing this for us. Okay. She hated it. She was like, this is embarrassing. I can't believe it. What's this guy Joe smoking? But we got about 10 calls from buyers. And of those 10, three were not interested, but they called anyway. Okay.
Yeah, they still called. They must be interested.
Yeah. And three were super interested. We're working with them right now still. And they were like, we're going to go look at it today. And then three were playing phone tag with. So those were kind of the numbers. And that was only incredible. A few days after that letter hit. That's I think we incredible. Sent 100 and something, 110 or 120 of them. Anyway.
There you have it right there. It's simple. That's so simple. And it's so simple, people won't even do it because it can't be that easy, Joe.
Well, you mean I have to work? I can't just push a button while I'm in my underwear in my parents' basement playing video games?
You have high school children, even like my son's in second grade. He can write. That could be a job for him. He wants a four-wheeler.
Yeah.
I think I might hire him to start writing those just so he can buy that four-wheeler, because I'm definitely not buying it for him.
What if it was a letter saying, my daddy wants to buy some more land in this area. Would you be interested in selling? Or, you know, if it's a kid's handwriting, it could be, my daddy has a vacant lot that he's trying to sell in this area. Would you please buy it from him or something like that, right?
That's incredible. Yeah, I'm going to use that. And we were talking this morning on the way to school. I'm driving my son, Zechariah, to school. And he goes, remember, we looked at that land with that ugly house on it? And I was like, yeah. He's like, did you ever buy it? And I said, no. He goes, why would you want to buy that place anyways? That's a really ugly house. And I said, son, that's what I do. I flip land. I buy and sell land. And he just couldn't figure it out. He didn't understand in his eight, or he's not eight yet. He's about to turn eight. But it's just, we need to teach our kids what we do and it involve them.
My daughter used to say to her friends, I was in real estating. I did real estating.
Beautiful. Why does land beat houses every time? I mean, we went off track from our original topic we were going to talk about.
Yeah. Well, okay. This is something I like to say, and I kind of say it in jest to kind of irk some people, or what's the word? Raise some feathers or whatever.
Yeah. Let's fluff them up.
Let's fluff up some feathers, because, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing houses. I mean, that's how I got my start. That's probably how you got your start, just doing houses. And there are a lot of advantages to wholesaling houses. Oh, yeah, there's one of my books, REI Secrets.
REI Secrets by Joe McCall. I think you talked about houses in this.
Yeah, Bob, that's letter. Probably all I talked about.
This letter. You don't even know these. I think these are your letters. I don't know. Oh, yeah. What's up? Joe here. I forgot you wrote those.
I did a handwritten letter and I put it in that book.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Okay, so why does land beat house? I like to, you know, ruffle some feathers. That's the word I'm looking at. Because there's a lot of advantages to houses, right? Number one advantage is there's a huge demand. There's like way more buyers looking for houses than there are looking for land. But competition is like 10 times worse for houses than it is for vacant land. It's a lot harder to negotiate big discounts with homeowners than it is for vacant landowners, right?
Without a doubt.
And like with direct mail, we both love direct mail. We get 5 to 10 times the response rate with vacant land than we do with houses. It may not be the response rate, it may not be as good as it was a couple of years ago for land, but that just goes through cycles. It goes up and down. When I got started doing direct mail, people were complaining about competition back then in 2006. So it's like people will always complain about competition, but it works. So I like to say, let's flip the hashtag, flip dirt, not houses. All right. So I have a list here of reasons why I like land. I'm going to run through them real quick. Is that all right?
Go. Yeah.
With vacant land, you don't need to do anything to the property, right? No repairs. You don't have to do any inspections. You don't have to pull any permits. it's pretty much about as hands off of an investment as you can get. You don't have to worry about when you do own it and you're selling it with seller financing, you don't have to worry about vacancies, maintenance, repairs, tenants, toilets, trash, termites, mold, broken pipes, new roofs, all of that stuff. And you can get great cash flow without going into tons of debt with that property, right? All right. Now, the other reason is statistically, vacant landowners are much more likely to be motivated to sell. They're more removed from the property. They're more distant. They're further, you know, we only target people that typically have owned the property over 10 years. They live outside the county. There's no emotional attachment to the property. Maybe they inherited it or whatever. You can flip vacant land a lot easier without ever seeing it in person. There's so many good tools online that you could use to do your research and due diligence on vacant land. It's a very inexpensive asset to own as a long-term investment, right? You don't have mortgage payments. You don't have utility bills, no property management, property taxes, a couple hundred bucks a year, right? It gives the owner peace of mind because there's very little risk involved. It's a real tangible asset that doesn't wear out. It doesn't depreciate. It can't get broken into. It can't get stolen. And it can't be destroyed, right? There's also a lot fewer variables of what can go wrong. I mean, I cannot remember ever talking to a rehabber of a house that enjoyed rehabbing houses. It's really what it is. It's just a giant adult daycare. All of the problems that you deal with when rehabbing houses, I've done 3 rehabs in my investing career, and I've lost money on all of them except one, and it was just a rental property. I didn't lose any money on it because I had so much equity in it. But fewer variables with land, like compared to houses, you don't have to worry about the condition of the property. You don't have to worry about all the hidden things behind the walls, like damaged foundations and termites and mold and radon and smokers and pet damage on these properties, right? You don't have to worry about dealing with existing tenants, local city ordinances, the market conditions, bank financing, right, with rising interest rates. Is anybody still doing the BRRRR strategy anymore? With interest rates at 7-8% for retail buyers, for investor buyers, what is it now? At 9-10%? I don't know.
Yeah, I just refinanced 8.25% for one of my rental properties.
For investors, right? That's pretty good, actually, because that's still a little bit, it's 1 or 2 points higher typically than a retail buyer would be, right?
I had a lot of equity and I had to write a check too to do it. Yeah. So it's nuts right now. I had a 19-unit apartment complex. I still have it. We bought it years ago. It took years to renovate, and it's worth about $1 million more than what we owe on it, but we just refinanced. Guess what? We're coming to the table with almost $1,500 a month to cover that mortgage. 19 units. Like, a lot can change. And, you know, land, I've always been profitable on every land deal as soon as I buy the land.
Yeah. Because we buy it so cheap. You don't have to worry about pleasing picky buyers. When you do a rehab on a house, you got all these buyers that are walking through, picking it apart, city inspectors, you have to get your permits. Land is just simpler, all right? It's a great way to diversify your investments. You can add vacant land to any portfolio, which reduces your risk. Land investors, we call our own shots, right? We don't have to deal with banks or inspectors, contractors, realtors, the city. Very minimal local government involvement and intrusion, which is huge. Minimal startup capital. By the way, I don't use earnest money deposits or proof of funds in my land deals. Yeah, do you put earnest money deposit down in your land offers?
So I do put an earnest money deposit for one reason only, because I want to have consideration for these sweet, nice, fat, juicy, profitable land deals. I don't want anybody coming around and taking it from me. But I don't think these sellers care most of the time. 9 out of 10 don't care, nor do they ever ask for a proof of funds.
Yeah. On some of our bigger deals, I will do earnest money deposits, like our bigger deals, but 90% of them don't do any earnest money deposit. And we give ourselves 3 months to close, right? 3 months of due diligence. We don't have to worry about 2-week inspection contingencies.
That's 90 days, ladies and gentlemen. 90 days. You can find a buyer in 90 days for this parcel of land.
And if you can't, I can cancel my contract for any reason. Now, that's not saying you should push it out, you know, all 90 days and then the last minute contact the seller and try to cancel, because I don't like doing that. You should know within 2 to 3 or 4 weeks whether you could find a buyer or not. And if you don't know within 4 weeks whether you have a good deal and you can sell it, you need to cancel the agreement or renegotiate a lower price. Okay. But I don't do earnest money deposits typically, and I don't do proof of funds. I have a one-page contract that I use. Now, you can still use realtor contracts if you want, but very little competition. It's easier to get better deals. You know, with a house, when a lead comes in, you need to be on the horn, calling them back immediately, right?
Seconds.
You need to drop everything
in
you're doing
seconds.
On a hot house lead, go to that seller's house and meet them in person. That's going to be the somebody, because they're seeing these signs everywhere and they're getting tons of marketing from other wholesalers. You need to be really on the ball with houses. With land, you have a little more luxury of, you should still be aggressive, right? Like money loves speed, even in land, but you don't have to be as like drop everything to work with a motivated seller lead.
And
right?
I would spend hours sometimes in these houses talking to these sellers of these houses. Yeah. And sometimes I'd have to leave and throw away my shoes because I'm like, I'm not getting in my truck with these shoes. Like it was disgusting. And like you said, you got to drop what you're doing, go to the house immediately, meet with the seller, sometimes the siblings, others. And it was so time consuming to get these house deals under contract.
Yeah. So here with the vacant land, we get all of our deals under contract, just a simple phone call. And I don't even negotiate. It does help to have sales skills and negotiating skills and ask a lot of questions and all that. But it's basically, you know, we send them an offer, and if they're interested, they call us back. And that's okay. I know my numbers. And I do it two different ways. Like, basically, we send a letter or a postcard saying, hey, if you want to, we call it a neutral letter. If you want to sell your lot, call or text our 24-hour recorded voicemail. And then we send them an offer, and we only talk to the ones after they get our offer. The other way we do it is we send a letter or postcard. They call or text our 24-hour recorded voicemail, and then we call them back and talk to them. So when I call them back first, before I send them an offer, we're averaging about one out of every 15 offers gets accepted. Okay, and we send an offer to every seller we talk to. Okay, when we send them just, if they go to voicemail, we send them an offer before even talking to them. We just do a little 5 to 10 minutes of research. Send them an offer and then say, hey, if you're interested, call us back. We get about one out of every 30 offers accepted. And these aren't just my numbers. These are my students' numbers as well. We average about one out of every 30. And you know your numbers, Brent. If you're sending blind offers, you get one deal out of every, what, 1,500 letters or something?
Yeah, it's about 1,000. I looked at the last 6 months. 1,112 blind offers. I get one land deal that's going to net us over $10,000 net profit. And I have to send out 1,100 of those though. So yeah. I'm spending $800 to make about 10 grand.
Here's the other numbers that we kind of look at too is how much in marketing do we spend to get a deal? And we're at it between about $1,500 in marketing per deal that we get for land. For houses, I'm telling you guys, I know so many people that are spending $3,000 to $5,000 in marketing to get a house deal under contract. And it doesn't matter if they're doing direct mail, PPC, or cold calling. Those are the numbers, especially when you're in hot markets, you know, in Florida or Phoenix or Vegas or San
Diego.
That's
before they buy the house. That's before they swing that first hammer, pay that crew to renovate it. It's just sickening how much money you have to dump into if you're going to rehab a house, let alone, maybe wholesaling is a little bit easier. But that's like
all right. So I'm not done yet. I still got more reasons why.
I got more.
Land beats houses every time.
This is a book. This is going to be. I think this is the next book.
All right. Lower costs, higher profits. It's cheaper to get in than houses or vacant or commercial property or multifamilies. Right. Like again, an average house costs what in the United States today? $350,000 or something like that. Like the median.
That's sick.
So land, our average land deal that we're doing, that we're buying, we're paying about maybe $12,000 to $15,000 on a property. That's what we're paying for. You could put that on a credit card.
Yeah. And then we're and I have put land on a credit card with $30,000 on a credit card.
Now, I'm not saying you should, but you can, right? But you could buy it on a credit card or borrow a friend's credit card and then sell it 2 or 3 months later at double, triple that. So we typically are buying at about 35 to 40 cents on the dollar, typically, right? And lower cost to get in higher profits. So you can get started with a cheaper investment. And when you're selling on owner financing, I always look at what's called the cash on cash return. In other words, how much cash did I put in the deal in that first year? And how much cash did I get back after the buyer's down payment and my 12 monthly payments? What's my cash on cash return? And I'm telling you, with houses, you're doing good if you get 10 to 12% using leverage debt. You're doing great if you can get 10 to 12% cash on cash return in that first year, okay? With land, it's not uncommon for us to get 65, 75, sometimes 100% cash on cash return on our money in that first year when we're selling with owner financing.
Yeah. And how long is it taking for you to sell these parcels of land when you offer the owner financing?
1 or 2 months.
1 or 2 months.
Yeah. So when we sell with owner financing, well, let me just say, when we're advertising a property, for every one call we get from a cash buyer wanting to pay cash, we'll get 4 or 5 calls from somebody wanting to sell or finance, right? So it's way easier to sell with owner financing and seller financing. Now, obviously, it's got to be a good property, but it blows me away how much easier it is to sell with seller financing.
Yeah.
Now, still...
Americans think, how much is it going to cost each month, what's the total cost.
What's my payment? Yeah. All right. So I love passive income with vacant land. And this is something I learned a lot from you, Brent. So when you add seller financing into the mix, you can make so much more money. Banks, you know, again, when you put yourself into a buyer's perspective, right? They're looking for a land that they can buy, maybe hold as an investment to go camping on, you know, do ride their four-wheeler, shoot their guns, hide their guns, right? Like, or just build a house someday, right?
Yeah.
Banks typically will not lend on these little properties. So, and again, Dodd-Frank doesn't apply to residential vacant land or recreational vacant land. Dodd-Frank doesn't apply to that because it's not a personal residence.
Yeah, they're not laying their heads there at night.
Right. So it's easy to make, again, $200, $300, $400 a month, $500 a month on your vacant lots. And then finally, you know what? God's not making any more of it, right?
Yeah.
This is an indestructible asset that will always be around, and there's tons of it. If you were to look at the numbers, and I did this before, if you were to look at the numbers and how many active house investors there are versus how many houses there are, how many active land investors there are versus how many vacant land is available, right? There are 7 times more vacant lots available for every active land investor. 7 times more than there is houses available for every active house investor. Does that make sense what I'm saying there?
Absolutely makes sense. So that speaks right now to the people that have a scarcity mindset. Oh man, like you guys are talking about this everywhere. There's got to be so much competition in this. Well, what I just heard is there's 7 times more house investors than there are land investors. And then on the reverse opposite side, there's how many more times land?
What I was saying was there's 7 times more vacant lots available per active land investor.
Okay.
There's 7 times more. So obviously there's way more houses than there are vacant lots in the US. Okay. But when you compare it to the number of active house investors that are looking for those deals,
gotcha,
compared to the active number of land investors, there are 7 times more opportunity for every active land investor than there is for every house investor.
Well, I want to put
I just pulled that number up from ListSource.
Yeah.
I looked in the entire US in the last 90 days, how many houses sold to investors, right? And how many vacant lots sold to investors.
Got you.
Compared to how many houses are available in the US and how many vacant lots are available in the US.
And to put another spin on that, what about the land, these massive parcels? There's a 1,200 acre parcel right now that's getting subdivided right now down the street from me. When we subdivide it, they're going to add over 1,200 parcels of land because they're going to go a little smaller than an acre,
okay,
on 1,200 acres. So, yeah, you know, we say they're not making any more land, but we are making more APNs.
That's good. That's a great point. So, you know, I love land and I used to do a lot of houses. Sometimes we'll still do house deals. So I don't want to knock, like, there is a place for that, right? I just like ruffling some feathers and talking about how why land beats houses every time. There's a place for land. I just want to challenge you guys to at least look at land as a tool in your tool belt, right? Instead of throwing those land leads away, start looking at making offers on those land deals. I can't tell you how many guys I've talked to that just do houses and they start asking me questions about land and I tell them what I do and then they go do it. Or realtors that now are looking at doing some land deals and they're blown away like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how easy this is, how much easier this is than houses. Why didn't I do this before? Why is it taking me so long to do this? Am I worried about competition and everybody finding out about this? No, I mean, no. There's nothing we can do about it. And I look at competition as a good thing, because it means if there are people out there in this county that are doing a lot of land deals, that's a good place to go, because that means there's demand. That means there's money out there that are buying. There's people buying these lots. And so, you know, I can just jump. And there's tons of it out there.
So much. And success leaves clues. I like to go to areas where it's in high demand. I went into those areas where there was not, it wasn't in high demand, and I had to create that demand. It's way easier just to fill the demand than it is to create the demand.
Well, Joe, let me say one more thing, and because we got to wrap it up, I know. People quit this business all the time, Brent, right? People get in, they start, and they get all excited, and they send out some mail, and they just quit for whatever reason. They get discouraged, they get distracted, they get overwhelmed, life comes in the way. And so you may think, well, a lot of people are listening to these podcasts or buying these courses or watching these YouTube videos now, and all the competition, blah, blah, blah. But so few people actually stick with it and are consistent with it. And so for every, I don't know what the numbers are, but I bet you it's something like for every 10 new people that come into land investing, there's probably 5 people that are leaving. There's probably 2 or 3 people that are just kind of like coasting and not doing much of anything. They haven't sent some letters out in a couple months. And, you know, or whatever. And so for every, you know what I'm saying? There's people coming in, coming out all the time.
Yep. Joe, you've been so gracious with your time and your nuggets of wisdom. I love the fact that we're doing land deals together. Well, not together personally, but together side by side, parallel companies. Maybe we will do a land deal together personally now that I've got that big lender. And I shouldn't even say big lender. You know, we got multiple lenders.
We should talk, Brent, about doing a workshop together. Wouldn't that be fun? Like, I don't know if you guys listening to this, watching us on YouTubes or listening to podcasts, if you think it would be a good idea for Brent and I to do a workshop together, like a live workshop, let's do it somewhere cool. That's close to an airport, but let's do it somewhere. And, let's do a 2-day workshop and let's try to get a deal under contract. We'll do a bunch of marketing before and let's just, you'll have a different way of tweaking and teaching this stuff. I have my own way. And let's collaborate and let's teach kind of doing this together. And let's make some offers. Let's get some deals under contract while we're there.
Yeah. 2-day live event of actually taking action. Not a lot of fluff or education, but let's do some actual instruction and then action. Get on the phones, get some letters out, close some deals in 2 days. It can definitely be done. So Rhino Nation, let me know your interest on there, whether you put in an application by going to thewholesalinginc.com/land. Let us know your interest on that. We could definitely put that together in the next, I don't know, next couple months, 90 days, maybe 6 months.
Actually, 6 months. Let's do something. That'd be fun. Yeah,
do a live event we're doing land deals anyways. We might as well do it with other people in the room. Yeah. That just makes it way more fun, because this business can get boring by ourselves. So do it with others, collaborate. Again, go to wholesalinginc.com/land, schedule that call, tell us your interest in it. And Joe, where can people find you?
But if you just go to YouTube, do a search for Joe McCall. I'm there. And I've been really focusing, trying to do more YouTube videos. And I'm doing a lot of content on land right now. And so my channel's growing. Go to my YouTube. And if you don't like YouTube, just look me up on Facebook.
There you go. Well, God bless. See you next time, Rhino Nation.
See you, Brent.
That's all for this episode. Your next step to success is to continue the conversation over at wholesalinginc.com by joining the mailing list, as well as get your chance to book a strategy session to learn the systems and become part of the tribe and work personally with one of our amazing coaches. We'll see you next episode with more ways to make you a fortune in wholesaling.